looking this morning now where we left off last week, Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 4 down through verse 8. Verse 4, Romans 12, down through verse 8. Now let me make this introduction. Every believer has experienced the transforming power of God. We call that salvation by the grace of God. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the transforming power of God in the salvation of our soul. The Apostle Paul referred to it as being a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Peter talks about believers have received a divine nature. They are partakers of a divine nature by the new birth, being born into the kingdom of God. And our Lord said, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being made a new creature in Christ, therefore we have low thoughts of self, and we have high thoughts and right thoughts about God Almighty. We also esteem others better than ourselves. The Apostle writes about that in Philippians 2. He said, let each esteem other better than we would our own self. God, by His grace, has implanted in the believer a willingness to serve Him. We serve Him because we want to. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. And we serve Him out of what? Bondage? Drudgery? No, we serve Him out of love and gratitude. Love and gratitude. The love of Christ constrains us. That's how we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving one another in that body. We serve the body of Christ, and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by Him, there is one Lord, one body, and one Spirit. Now, don't turn. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That's talking about the same thing. Your reasonable service. Walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through and in you all. Each and every believer is in the body of Christ. Each and every believer is in the ministry to serve the Lord, that is, to serve His purpose and to serve His glory through the furtherance of the gospel. Now, let's look at verse 4 and verse 5. For as we have many members, we're one in Christ. There are many members, but one body. And all members have not the same function. We're going to read in a minute from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear. We have one, we're one body, but yet members have not the same office. All members have not the same office. For we, being many, are one body in Christ. Now, it keeps emphasizing that we're one in Christ. And everyone members one of another. All believers of all ages make up the body of Christ, called His church, called His bride, called His jewels, called His elect. He hath chosen us from the beginning unto salvation. We are His by His choice. We are members, therefore, one of another. We serve one purpose, one goal, one Lord. We are joined in one in Christ. Christ is our head, and we are the body. We are put in the body of Christ, made members of His body by His sovereign grace. Each member of His body, they make up the elect of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He loved and that He gave Himself for. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us all that we need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are all one in Christ. I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning there, let me remind you of this verse found in John 17. You find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. And then I'll remind you of what the Lord prayed in John 17. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We are one in Christ. And what's true of the head? True of the body. The Father loves the Son and loves all those that are in the Lord Jesus. Now you got 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, behold, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling be? But now, God hath set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. Now we're in Him by His sovereign grace, and we serve Him as He has placed us in His body, and we are members one of another. Now, verse 6 down through verse 8 back in Romans 12. Having then gifts. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Having then these gifts of God, these are sovereign gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Any gift we have, it's the gift of His grace. We can say with the apostle, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace that is given to us. And then he mentions seven different things here. Prophecy, ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and then showing mercy. Seven different things. The apostle gives unto us a description of some of the gifts. Now, not all of the gifts. Seven are mentioned here. These gifts are sovereignly given to whom the Lord will, according to the measure of His grace, according to the measure of His purpose. Therefore, we should be eager and willing to use what God has given unto us to serve Him. Now, each one of us have been put in that body of Christ and given the gifts that He mentions here to serve His purpose. Now, the first thing He mentions in verse 6 is this thing of prophecy. Now, back in the Old Testament times, before the written Word of God, God raised up certain prophets. He gave them the message. What was that message? The Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. Every prophet in the Old Testament bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every preacher called of God and put in the ministry, they have the same exact message. Salvation by Christ and salvation in Christ. So we consider this word here at this time talking about preaching. Preaching the gospel. Let us do so according to the measure of faith that God has given unto us. Now, as pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to call out His people, to feed His people. We're to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. The apostle gives unto us these descriptions. Prophecy. Let us do so with the measure of faith. Now, Paul said we preach in part and we know in part. But what God has revealed, that we plainly declare. Paul is talking here about the gift of preaching the gospel with the ability that God has given to that man. He has called and put in the ministry of Christ. Now, I emphasize that word man. God doesn't call women to preach the gospel. He calls men and puts men in the ministry. And they all have, all those who are called of God and given this gift of preaching the gospel, they all preach the same message. Wherever you find God's servant that's called of God and put in the ministry, they preach the same message. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you turn back, let's turn to Ephesians 3. I had that earlier before in Ephesians 4, but if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, the apostle said in verse 7, Ephesians 3, 7, they all have the same message. Wherefore I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. There's that gift, the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. What do we preach? The unsearchable riches of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And then Paul, right before he was executed for the gospel, remember he wrote back to Timothy, he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus to preach the word. Preach the word. We cannot, notice the first thing is mentioned here is the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. It pleased God through the preaching of the gospel to call out His people. We put much emphasis upon teaching the word, verse by verse, line by line, precept by precept, because God will bless His word to His sheep. They will hear it, and they will follow Christ. The second thing he mentions here is ministry. Ministry. This is talking about serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Every believer is in the ministry. Every believer is in the ministry. That is, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a faithful servant unto the Lord's people. Every believer has been given this gift of service. Service unto the Lord. Service unto the Lord. You know, it's a high title to be known and called a servant of the Lord. The Apostle Paul often referred to himself as the servant of the Lord. A willing, loving, bond servant of the Lord. You know who else is called the servant of the Lord? In Isaiah 42, verse 1, God said, Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Who's that referring to? Well, we know it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the servant of God. You see, it's a high title. To be known as a servant of the Lord, to be in the ministry to serve His people. In Isaiah 53, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the righteous servant of the Lord. Now listen to Scripture in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, where the Lord said, Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve His people and to serve His Father and to complete the work God gave him to do, but to minister and to give his life a ransom, payment for sin for many, it says there in that text. And then Paul writes of those in the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16:15, those that have addicted themselves. Now we usually think of addiction as a negative way because of the addiction to drugs. But it's a good thing to be addicted to serving Christ. And that's what Paul says. Some have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a good thing to be addicted to serving. And that's how we serve the Lord, by serving one another, being members one of another. Now, in verse 7, on ministry, let us wait. Let us wait upon the Lord. He will show us where, how, and when that we're to serve Him. Or The third thing he mentioned is on teaching.
Teaching.
Now, what do we teach? Well, we teach the Word, don't we? We teach the Word. Those who are taught of God, remember, our Lord said all those who have heard and learned of the Father, they come to Christ. Those who have been taught of God desire to teach others what the Lord has taught them. Teaching the Word. Teaching the doctrine of the Word. The doctrine of Christ. And I've often said to you, it's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And that's what preaching is. And that's what teaching is. Now, some will say, well, he's a pretty good teacher, but he's not much of a preacher. Turn over here to Ephesians chapter 4 this time. I don't know if you can draw a line between teaching and preaching. I know if you're not preaching, you're not teaching. And if you're not teaching, you're not preaching. Preaching and teaching is communicating the message of Christ, the message of the gospel. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about his death, talking about his resurrection glory. And when he ascended up on high, he gave some apostles. Now there are no apostles today. But the word actually means those who were sent of God. And God still calls men and sends them to preach the gospel. And then he talks about apostles. He talked about prophets, those who were sent to preach the gospel. Some evangelists, those who were blessed and gifted to travel and preach the gospel. And he gave some pastors and he gave some teachers. Teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth. And we speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God will bless the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word, and God will bless those who serve in his cause. Now the fourth thing he mentions in verse 8 back in our text. Or he that would exhort, exhortation, let him wait on this thing of exhorting. That is giving a word of encouragement to one another. Maybe a word of comfort in the time of trial. Isaiah writes, comfort ye, my people. Or maybe not only a word of exhortation by the way of comfort, but how about a word of exhortation of warning as well? Sometimes we need to be comforted and uplifted. Sometimes we need to warn one another, don't we? If you'll take your Bible and find the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And here he writes about exhorting one another daily. Hebrews 3, verse 12, but he also writes about a warning. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another. Exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There we're to exhort one another to persevere in the faith. Now look back at our text, Romans 12, verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation. And then the fifth thing he mentions here, he that giveth. Giveth. Or as the marginal reference has, imparteth. imparteth, let him do it with simplicity, or as the marginal reference has, let him do it with a liberal, generous spirit in a right attitude. It is a blessing to be blessed of God, to have a willingness to give. God loveth a cheerful giver. It is a blessing to give and to encourage one another. He that giveth, let him do it with a generous, willingness in his heart. And let's give without calling attention to ourselves. Now, religion is plagued with this thing about calling attention to people who give gifts. In some places, they'll even have on the end of the pew, they'll say, well, this pew is bought and paid for by certain so-and-so. They call recognition to people's name. We're to give, not let the right hand know what the left hand do. Give unto the Lord and do it in an anonymous way. That's why we have a box out back. You can go by that box and you can put your gift in there. You see, the point is we share with others what the Lord has put into our hand, supporting the ministry of the gospel. And we do not give to be seen of men. Don't blow your trumpet. Don't sound the trumpet about how much you are able to give or when you give. The Lord said, freely have you received, freely give. It is more blessed, Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give, is it not, than to receive. It's a blessing to be able to give. And God's people are cheerful, willing givers. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with a generous heart, a willing heart. And then he mentions there the next thing in verse 8, he that ruleth, let him do it with due diligence. Diligent. That is, faithful to the privilege and responsibility of the office God has given unto you. Whether it be in the church, whether it be in your home, the responsibility God has given you to be a parent, a father, a mother, that's a big responsibility. Let us do so with diligence as unto the Lord. Whether it's a church office, whether it's a home office, or on the job. Let us lead others in a way that's honoring to the gospel of God. Now, I've been a boss on the job before, and I've had people work underneath me. And it is a privilege, but with privilege comes responsibility. Responsibility of those men to lead them in a way that's safe and right. Responsibility unto the owner of the company to lead those men and do things that are right. But how much more? How much more in the family of God to be a responsible believer unto the Lord? You see, we are accountable. When I was a boss on the job and things didn't go well, you know who the owner of the company came to see? If there was a mess up, it was me. It was me. I was responsible to the owner of that company to do what I was told to do. And so much more, we are responsible unto the Lord. And I mean by that, we are accountable. We are accountable unto the Lord. We are to serve Him with a reasonable service. And then the last thing that He gives here in verse 8, the last part of that, he that ruleth with diligence. And then it says, he that showeth mercy. He that showeth mercy. Now, how do you show mercy? Mercy is something that needs to be demonstrated. You can say, well, I'm a merciful person. Show me. Show me you're merciful. You know how you show mercy? By loving and forgiving everyone who has sinned against you. Love one another. Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He that showeth mercy, let him show mercy with a cheerful heart. I'm going to show mercy, but I don't like it. That's not showing mercy, is it? Let him show mercy with a cheerful heart, as the Lord has been merciful to us. You remember from our study in the book of Luke, chapter 6, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
How merciful has God been to us?
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Let us demonstrate to others and treat others as the Lord has blessed us according to the gift of His grace. It is more blessed to help others than
to be in need of help. It's better to help others.
Now, I thought about this when I was thinking upon that point. When, after we were flooded the last time in 2010, even in 2009, how many people came here from out of town, stayed in a motel room overnight, came here and slopped around in that old bacteria-laden mud. Why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? You know, I didn't even ask them to come. They just showed up. They did that out of a willingness to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the time when we not only cleaned up all the flood mud, but when we started work on our house out of the floodplain. People poured in from all over the country, sent gifts, unsolicited, sent gifts and willingly came. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters, brick people, cement people. And Brother John Chapman was here last week, and he said, did you build this house all by yourself? I said, no, sir. Freddie knows, don't you, Freddie? I had a lot of good help. And the Lord sent His people to show mercy. Why'd they do that? To labor and to work? Because they love the gospel of God and wanted to see the gospel prosper right here in our community. Now, these things describe for us what the Apostle Paul, back in verse 1, is talking about. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable to serve the Lord, is it not? Out of love and out of gratitude. Reasonable to serve the Lord by helping one another. Now, let me close by reading this scripture. Remember in Matthew 25, when He separated the sheep from the goats and said to those sheep, come be blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then He said, I was in prison, you came to Me. I was hungry, and you fed Me. He said that to the righteous. And in all these different things, I was naked, and you clothed Me, remember? And they said, Lord, when did we do this to you? Listen to what He says. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto the least of these My brethren, you've done it unto Me. Now think about that next time you're blessed to be a blessing to someone else. That's how you serve the Lord, by being a blessing to someone else. May God help us to do so. By His grace.